Hi, welcome back to Playing FIFA in Suits. It's been a while, but we're here to talk about Love Island.
What is going on in this? I've heard, like, you talked about this, is it, like, a couple of days ago, and someone else messaged me about it separately. Like, what is going on there?
Like, it's like the diversity casting season, apparently, even though they voted a bunch of people of color off. Recently they've kind of diluted it a little bit, but yeah, it's a lot of I don't know, just like very mixy behavior, and there's a couple kind of characters on there that have made, I don't know, just it like a very interesting season. So it's a lot of, like, I think in more than, like, I think some previous seasons, there's like people who are attracted to like multiple people in there and have been like in like these kind of like somewhat, not even relationships, but like dating phases. And so I don't know, that's just kind of funny because it's, you're all in the same house, and so you see people like kissing other people who you're like still kind of attracted to. And so that's really, I did a poor job of explaining it, but that's basically what it is. Yeah, because like,
yeah, sounds messy.
Yeah. It's because I think in a lot of other seasons, you get like people who are like locked into their couples like straight away, or like have like one other person they're interested in. But like in this season, they're mainly the guys. Was it Tyreek and Zachariah are kind of like, well, there's like three people in here that I like. And so that makes it a little more interesting. So,
yeah, it just sounds very messy. Like,
yes. Yes.
Sometimes I'm down for that. Most of the time, it's just like I prefer to keep my distance.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But actually, we're gonna talk about football. Sorry about that. Okay, you want to do season wrap up? I guess for the Prem first.
Yeah. City finally, like, I mean, they weren't bad during the season, but they got it together and like went in the crazy run and won the title.
Yep.
And then they added the FA Cup and the Champions League. I mean, they're the best team in Europe.
Yeah,
it's
pretty clearly.
It's I mean, there's competition, don't get me wrong.
Like, I mean, they didn't play that well in that Inter game.
They did not. Inter could have easily won that. I think Inter's XG was considerably higher than City's, yeah. If I remember correctly.
But that, I don't know, I feel like that, I feel like they only really started attacking once they were down one.
Yeah, they were trying to like bounce Viscum and Ward.
Yeah.
And when you're playing against City, you're like you're asking for trouble because they're going to pile on pressure. But they did a pretty good job of preventing City from getting good shots. Even City's goal was not like
an easy chance at all.
Yeah.
It was like a volley from, I don't know, like 22.
From outside the box, and like, Rodri had to slice it.
Yeah.
To get it.
It was hit really well. Like, that's not like an easy chance, though. Like, that easily skies or hits a body somewhere through or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. That game was like very, I don't know, it kind of just made me think of, I don't know, all the other chances they kind of had in the Champions League, like the one against Chelsea. And it's like, I think they've played better and lost. And this was just like one of those, like, if you're there often enough, like, it's eventually going to happen.
Yeah, they did play Chelsea in 2019. It was, and I think that performance is what convinced Guardiola that he needed to buy someone like Haaland, because they created lots of chances, didn't score any goals. It's kind of ironic that like they finally win it with Haaland, but Haaland wasn't really a part of what happened.
No.
In that final,
he had like two chances.
Yeah.
And took them, like, I think decently well, but it's like, yeah, just two shots.
Yeah, so. And Onana's a really good goalkeeper.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
even though he kind of does like weird stuff every now and again, but it's like most keepers have like these kind of like odd moments.
Yeah, he's very eccentric. He's very good at the ball at his feet. He's a pretty good shot stopper. I wouldn't say elite, but like he's pretty good.
Yeah, that was just that save entered season when they benched Handanovic.
Yeah,
because he was bad.
But that's been a long time coming. Like Handanovic, I mean, Inter were very loyal to Handanovic because he was he's been there for over a decade.
Yeah,
like he was Inter's goalkeeper before I went to college. That's how long he's been there. So
yeah,
but he the decline was bound to happen, and they did well in getting Onana in a free. I still don't understand why Ajax let him leave, even when you consider what happened with the drug testing. Like he had plausible deniability, but it worked out in Inter's favor.
Yep. But no, yeah, Man City are just the best team in the world. I think it's also like them reaching a new level, but then I think it's also like the big three of like Bayern, Real, and Barcelona taking like a really big step back. Because I just like remember that that Bayern team that absolutely stomped Barcelona, with Thiago and Lewandowski. That team is just way worse than the one that won the Champions League like 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, we've talked about Barcelona, I feel like, constantly on this podcast because they are a mess.
But they won the league, and they looked pretty good defensively during it too. Like their attack still needs some work, but like they're the building blocks are potentially a great team in there. It's just like, do they have enough investment to like
do that?
Yeah.
And I mean, they also got knocked out of the Europa League, man. Like they.
Yeah, by United. I mean, it was United's best patch of the season. They were playing like really good football at that time. Still, it's like if you're Barcelona, given how much talent they had in that team, like they should have put up more of a challenge, and they didn't.
And then Real, I mean, I think they're kind of in a point where we can talk with them more, I think, when we do the transfer stuff, but like in a period of like transition for their squad. And so, I mean, I think the Champions League win against Liverpool was kind of like, was it Liverpool? Who do they wait? Was that right?
So which team are you talking about?
Real.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That game against, are you talking about the Savannah 16 tie against Liverpool?
Yeah. No. Wait, am I missing something? Cause like, no, I'm trying to make sure like my dates are not like messed up.
Which round are you talking about?
I'm talking about the final.
Oh, is it last year's final?
Yeah, last year's final.
Yeah, that was Liverpool.
Oh man, okay. I was like, because I think the pandemic final kind of messed me up like timeline wise.
Yeah,
and I was like, wait a second. Yeah,
I still don't know if was it Chelsea before it was Chelsea before Bayern.
Yeah,
right.
We should just look this up.
Actually, no, it was Liverpool in 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah, Bayern in 2020, Chelsea in 2021. Yeah, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah. That's it.
Okay, now I want to look this up to make sure I have everything right. Anyway, but that win for them was kind of like a little bit of an outlier. Like, just, I think they were starting that transition for their squad. And, like now I think they're kind of fully into that, as you see like Bellingham is there, like Benzema's gone, Modric's increase might have one more year left in them, but their playing time next year is going to be significantly reduced.
And you saw that against City, like they just did not have the legs.
Yeah.
Like they got run out of the park, and they looked better when they brought on like Camavinga and Tchouaméni. Yeah. Guys who actually had the legs to keep up with City's constant pressure.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like those teams have just like gotten just a little bit worse, man. And if you get like that little bit worse, and then sometimes in Barcelona's case, I think a lot worse, and City kind of take that next step, there's just like a massive gulf between like I think City and the next kind of group of teams. And I don't just probably see it closing a ton
next season. I think it could close, and I think that not necessarily because other teams are getting better, but I think City is going to be slightly worse. And this is based on a bunch of things. So number one, I think Gundogan might leave.
Yeah.
If he does leave, they're probably going to replace him with Mateo Kovacic. Very good player in possession, but doesn't offer as much in the final third as Gundogan does.
Yeah.
And he's not as good at pressing as Gundogan is. And so you're going to rely on Kovacic to like take up all those Gundogan minutes. And then you also have to consider the fact that Kevin De Bruyne is 31, 32 years old. He suffered a pretty nasty injury. Tore his hamstring in the Champions League final. Like, he's going to still be like very, very like
good,
productive. He's still going to be a world-class player, but he's going to lose a bit of mobility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it becomes much harder to recover from this sort of injuries when you're as old as he is. And that's going to have implications for like how City play, like especially like, given that he's very integral to the way that they press. So like if you take those two things, I think City's midfield is really like, and also you consider what's going on at Mahrez. That Mahrez is a bit older. I think he's entering in a period of decline. The defense is a bit like, I think they have a game plan moving forward. Like once Kyle Walker finally slows down.
Boy, but he's probably going to move to Bayern.
Yeah, he might could move to Bayern this summer.
Yeah,
I think he's been great in the last few weeks of the season, but I think that City can live without Kyle Walker.
Yeah, I think their new formation is like they don't really need him because they just play center backs there.
Yeah, and Akanji, I think, is quick enough to keep up with most forwards.
Well, he's better on the ball. Play at right back. Like they're going to play Stones there.
Yeah.
And then have Stones come in from midfield from right back like they did in the final. Like, they're just, I don't know. Like, you're saying all these things, and I'm like, bro, they just, like, Pep will find a way, and then he'll buy the right players to accommodate for this, like, change in style and this transition in their squad. Because like, that's what I'm saying. Like, they already have this, like, kind of, like, built-in, like, structure. It's not even, in terms of, like, football, just, like, the players on the pitch, but just like the integration between like their backroom staff, Pep, and just like the money they're able to spend, and they can just, you know, transition very quickly, very efficiently. And we've seen it like time and time and again with Pep, honestly, because they've changed styles a number of times. I mean, that's why they were kind of like not really good during the first part of the season, because they were like trying to figure out this new system with Haaland. And then they ended up, you know, absolutely like dominating the Premier League for the second half of the season, and then, you know, crushing probably the next best team in the world in Real Madrid in the second leg. And like that game was not close at all. That was like a beatdown.
It was like watching them play Southampton.
Yeah,
it was not good.
So that's, I mean, you're right. Like the KDB thing, the Mahrez thing, yeah. But I'm just like, bro, they can just find it.
But like, I think you're right. City is going to be the best team in Europe next season.
Yeah,
definitely. But I think like those marginal differences like would make them worse than they were this season. That doesn't mean that they're not going to be great, but I'm just trying to point that out.
Ah, that's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Because, no, I mean, this is like, I mean, arguably one of the best seasons like ever of like a European club.
Yeah, that 20-game stretch towards the end of the season was the best I've ever seen City play. Like, there was nothing you could do. Typically, when you're playing against City, you try to like launch a ball over the top, and if you have a quick enough forward, then you might get lucky a couple of times. It didn't. It just, they took that away by like with the new formation, the fact that center backs have a pretty deep starting position, and they're also pretty mobile anyway. So, I mean, if they can keep that up over the course of a season, they might beat their points record. But like, you know, it's hard in the Premier League.
Yeah, because there's a lot of talented players and coaches, and also like executives. Like the Premier League is just poaching like the best like sporting directors from all over the world.
Yeah, Monchi recently joined
Aston Villa. Yeah, and I think somebody from like Wolfsburg went to the Premier League as well. I don't know.
Was it to Liverpool?
I think so. Yeah, and then I forget who Tottenham have hired as like a sporting director. or going to hire. But yeah, man, it's like, it's just very hard to win in that league, man. There's a bunch of, world-class players, literally top to bottom. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah, I don't know. That's,
well, I guess one more thing before we move on and maybe talk about transfers is the Bundesliga. And what the hell happened to Borussia Dortmund?
It was choked.
It was the biggest
choke job. Oh my gosh,
it was hard to watch that. Like,
and then Bayern fired everybody anyway. Like, it's like, what?
Because it was too close.
Yeah, I was really annoying. I was like, they at least could have, like, I don't know. It felt very weird. Like, I guess it was kind of like a Pyrrhic victory, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because it was a disappointing performance in the season, and they had a bunch of, you know, of their kind of like, well, not their coaches, but their kind of like management get fired, and just like, yeah, they're having a bunch of departures as well. Like Pavard is gone, I don't know. Mane's probably leaving as well. It just felt very like odd. Like they won, but they just looked bad. I mean, they fired Nagelsmann. They got bounced out of the Champions League and looked just kind of like blah. It just, I don't know. It would have made that whole like season feel, it's not a real thing, but like narrative wise would have fit cleaner if they had lost the Bundesliga title.
And yeah.
Had won. But now it just kind of feels like, what am I even supposed to do with this?
Like, yeah, it's like they just like stumbled through the season and like got the trophy at the end because the other teams around them were incompetent.
So bad.
Yeah, it's, and just to talk about Bayern for a bit, like last season, I think their problems were that they were mediocre to bad at defending on occasion.
Yeah.
And their attack just had no structure without the proper center forward. I mean, props to Choupo-Moting for doing what he did for them last season.
He's a backup, though.
Yeah, he's a backup striker. He's replacement level. And if you don't have a guy like at the very top level, like in that position, Bayern is not going to be Bayern. I think they're fine in midfield. Like, Kimmich is fine.
Yeah,
Musiala is going to be great. Goretzka has taken a lot of stick this season, but I think he's going to bounce back next season.
They're like, kind of open, though. Like, their midfield is very, like,
yeah, which attacky. Is, yeah, which is why they've tried to get a defensive midfielder.
But so is everybody else.
Yeah. I mean, they can negate that by having a proper, like, a center back that can defend in space.
Yeah, their center backs are kind of...
They have Upamecano who can do that, but, like, this last season was tough.
Yeah, he was not great.
Yeah, even in the World Cup, like they got to the final, but that man was not.
Yeah,
he was not convincing.
I don't know. He can make up for a lot of this stuff because he's just like really athletic, and fast. But some of the mistakes, man, I was just like, bro, what is this guy doing?
Yeah. It's bad when your name becomes a joke.
Yeah. What was it? The
Paul McGuire.
Yeah, Paul McGuire. Yeah, that was. Oh my goodness. I remember something with Maguire, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Shout out to Maguire, though. He's leaving, right?
Yeah, he should leave this summer. I don't know where he's going to go, but he's probably going to leave.
Who needs a center back in mid table?
You could, I mean, not Crystal Palace. No. It's going to mess up Aston Villa's balance, too. I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good question, because I don't see him leaving England.
He could go to Brighton, perhaps.
I don't think they want to spend that much.
They don't want to spend that much, but I can sort of see the fit. But they already have a set centre-back partnership.
Yeah.
And if they're not going to be able to get Levi Colwill from Chelsea, then it might make sense to move for him. I mean, they did bid, what, 30 million, 40 million for Levi Colwill?
Yeah, but I figured they can probably, or they've probably figured they can probably sell him at some point. After that, and Maguire, I don't think
he'll
be able to get any return on the fee. So it's like,
yeah.
I have no idea where he goes. Nottingham?
It's possible.
Yeah, I could actually really see that.
It's possible. Like, that team has like a transfer strategy very similar to that of Chelsea. It kind of worked for them last season, though.
And they stayed up.
Yeah, because a couple of those transfers actually hit. Like Awoniyi from Union Berlin was pretty good when he did play. And maybe Danilo from Palmeiras, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It wasn't really a lot of hits. Honestly, no. Yeah. No. Like it was a lot of like the same squad, and then. Yeah, I feel like their hit ratio is maybe like 30% on those guys.
Yeah, like they got a bunch. I mean, they got Keylor Navas and Felipe good. From Real Atletico Madrid. I mean, was he at Madrid PSG. Before PSG and Atletico Madrid?
Those were good. Felipe played a lot of minutes for them, and Rodri was pretty good. Rodri, who also was from Atleti, was like I don't know, but they had so many like changes in their squad. That it was kind of like even hard to get a consistent kind of like feel for that team anyway. But yeah, I could see Maguire playing there for sure.
Yeah.
Arsenal, how do you feel about that season, bro?
Last season, I mean, it kind of continued on from the season before where they overperformed expectations. I think both of us felt that Arsenal would finish in the top four.
Yeah.
Well, they finished second, which was not on my cards, but like all the stars sort of aligned. Like Liverpool was a bit worse, Chelsea was much worse, mm-hmm. Tottenham were terrible.
Yeah.
So
that's it.
And Arsenal got better. Like let's give them credit too. Arsenal did get better. Like the young core got better. Yeah. They took a step forward.
They got the peak Xhaka season.
Yeah, got the peak Xhaka season. Zinchenko and Jesus helped.
Yes, Odegaard performed phenomenally.
Yeah, Saliba was felt like a new styling. There are lots of positive stories all around the pitch.
Partey stayed healthy. That was massive.
For most of the season until he declined big time towards the end, and they started playing Jorginho,
which didn't work as much. But
I mean, it helped ball progression because like they're after, and it I think. What happened at the end of the last season proved like how Arteta only has a plan A that might be the best in the league on a certain conditions. But beyond that plan A, it's a mess. Like once Saliba left and they started playing holding, that meant that Partey had to cover a lot more space. It fucked up Arsenal's build-up play. And then Zinchenko got injured and that fucked Arsenal's build-up play even more, which forced them to play Jorginho, who can actually pass. It's a mess. They have a lot of work to do this summer in terms of filling out the gaps in the squad. But I mean, they're in the right direction.
Definitely. I mean, it was good to see that, I think. Just like having Arsenal being like a top four team.
A sensible team.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. They're trying to buy Havertz, and I don't know about that. Do you want to go ahead and transfers? Because we're going to, I feel like, cover a lot of this stuff anyway.
In we'll cover that in transfers. But I have thoughts about that.
Okay. I think, I don't really have anything else to add. You kind of covered it. I think I was a little bit surprised. I don't really think I was surprised by the second. Because I think we both talked about like Chelsea being worse this year.
Yes.
I didn't think Liverpool would fall off as much. Tottenham having a poor season. I'm sorry, it's not very shocking. That team is like, I mean, Son had like a crazy finishing season last year. Easily see like, you know, I mean, regression to the mean is a little bit like too overstated, but just him just not having that same record. Those guys are both kind of old, can't play as many minutes or in the same kind of like pressing system that, I don't know, not even is needed, but like that is an option for other managers. And I mean, the Conte thing, I didn't really see like the health issues he had. I was like, that's kind of a lot. But them just being like mid was not super surprising.
Yeah.
So I could have seen like, I think Arsenal just like, you know, being second like that one year that Man U was second with Mourinho and they weren't that good. But I think to see them like lead the Premier League for as long as they did and by as many points as they did at certain points, I was like, that's really impressive. That was, I don't know, just fun to see. But yeah, the Saliba injury, and then I think some of the slowdown from Saka as well. He was just playing a lot of minutes.
Yeah, they didn't have anyone to replace him. It was
Yeah.
just him.
Yeah.
And which makes so I'm a bit worried that they chose to renew Reece Nelson. Like he did show flashes last season, but like I would not give Reece Nelson a lot of minutes based on what I saw from him last season. I'd rather go out and get someone that's nearly as good as Saka, if not as good as him.
To be like the third attacker.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. But I don't know.
I think that's probably right though. But maybe they want to spend that cash on, I guess, well, I'll talk about it at transfers. But yeah, I mean, solid season. Saka, Martinelli look like stars, which is really encouraging, and that'll, I don't know, carry you for like the next, maybe not 10 years, but like, I don't know, maybe like eight? Yeah, something like
Half
that.
decade to a decade, somewhere between that.
If the injuries don't like catch up to people, which that always happens. But yeah, no. Overall good season, man. Great
Yeah.
season, I should say. Do we want to talk about Italy?
I mean, Napoli just ran away with it.
Yeah, they
That's like,
smoked everybody.
they ran away with it, and then they slowed down towards the end of the season.
Yeah, because they kind of got nervous. And then they just, I mean, they won it early and then they stopped playing.
And now it looks like they're about to at least partially blow up the team. I mean, not the team, but like the structure.
I mean,
Like, Spalletti's gone, and
yeah.
he's been replaced by who replaced him? Was it not Rudy Garcia?
Yes, that's right, because
That's a
he
terrible appointment,
was
but
a heel.
no, like really, like it's like you're going from Spalletti, who's always been known for like being one of the more attack-minded coaches in Serie A, and managed to like, I mean, it wasn't necessarily Sarri ball, but it was a very attacking style of play that worked while preserving some sort of defensive balance. He was helped by like, I mean, Kim Min-jae was probably the signing of the season in Serie A. I
Well,
mean, if not,
no, I mean,
Kvaratskhelia.
yeah, I was like, they have another guy who could also be like right up there.
Although Kvaratskhelia did slow down.
Yeah, he did.
So, I mean, the stars all aligned, I think. I don't know what the hell is going on or what the hell went on between Spalletti and De Laurentiis, but yeah, it was a good season. They were great.
No, great. I mean,
They were the
they.
best team in the league.
Yeah. Oh, I will say this. If you look at Inter's XG, it's like line in line with Napoli's, which
Yeah.
I was kind of confused by. I think part of that is like the slowdown for Napoli towards the end, but even when they were like still like technically like not out of it, it was still like pretty close. So, and I think some of that is justified by like Inter's Champions League final approach or appearance. Because I mean, they played better than Benfica and Milan, even though Leao was out for the first tie and was kind of like limited in the second one. But
They did peak in the final 3 weeks of the season,
yeah, but
Inter.
they had a bunch of really poor performances and they rotated a lot, which Napoli did not do in the same way. Because they just
Because
had.
they couldn't.
Go ahead.
Because they couldn't, right? It's just, I mean, the only decisions you have to make in Napoli are like, are you going to play Lozano or play Politano?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Simeone is not really, like,
Nah.
Simeone is not really a question.
Yeah.
Or, like, whether to, like, give, what's his name, the guy from Tottenham,
Oh,
Ndombele,
Dembele. Yeah.
some minutes here and there. But it was a pretty set starting 11.
Very set. And Inter's was not. They were rotating a lot because they just have older guys. And so I mean, I guess it worked out in the end because like they finished very strong, right? And they, made the Champions League right for one, then made the final, and I don't know, had a good showing there. But yeah, that was kind of what I want to look at those numbers because I mean, I thought Inter were a quality team, easily the second best in Serie A, but to see them put up those type of numbers, and I don't know, sometimes like those numbers don't actually capture the full story, but it was just kind of like, huh. Interesting.
Yeah, they were good this season.
Yeah, for sure.
I still don't understand how Lazio finished second.
they did some weird magic.
I don't know what happened there.
They are not really good. They're like the fifth or sixth best team.
They're not a very good team. Yeah. They have good players, but they're not as good as their position implies.
No. I don't know, man. Yeah. Sometimes like they get weird bounces. Football's odd. That's all I got, but because they are not that good.
No.
But shout out to Juventus for cheating. So, I mean, that's really all I care about. Milan got, Champions League football next year. So, even though Maldini got fired and
they're
going through a whole thing.
Their attack needs some reconstruction this summer.
Yeah, well, Macias is probably gone. Salamakers, I think, is probably going to stay. But yeah, they need somebody who can actually like score off the right, or at least do something.
Pulisic might not be a bad signing.
Yeah, I could see that, but he gets injured a lot, and they don't really have anybody else. So I know there's bound to be a bunch of changes. I think they need another midfielder, because Bennacer had knee surgery, mm-hmm. and Tonale and what is his name?
Pobega?
Krunic.
Krunic, Rade Krunic.
Yeah, Krunic. I don't even know what he does. He just runs around. He's like the Bosnian McTominay, bro. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, like the fact that this man is getting minutes in the Champions League is distressing.
As an eight, like he came in to Milan as a 10 and just like moved further back because he didn't do anything as a 10. So yeah, they need to fix that. And I don't know. I feel like their back line is okay. Simon Kjær is kind of just aged out. But Hernandez, Tomori, Tao, and Calabria is a fine center back. Back four lineup.
And Kalulu's okay.
Yeah, Kalulu's fine. He's kind of like a utility player in baseball, but for like football, he can kind of play along a number of positions of the back line. It's fine. And then
Mandanda. Yeah, the French Jeffrey Slav.
But now they just need to fix a couple things, and then I think they'll be okay. But they're gonna have to do it smartly because they can't have another De Ketelaere situation.
Yeah, he could get better next season. It's entirely possible.
Yeah, I mean, jumping from the Belgian league to Serie A is tough. Even if Serie A isn't at the heights of like the
late 90s, but the Belgian league is not anywhere close. He has a talent. He just needs, I think he needs another season. Yeah. If it doesn't work out for him this season, I don't know what's going to happen to his career.
Well, he'll just go back to
Belgium.
Probably.
Yeah.
Maybe the Eredivisie or something like that. But yeah, because he can definitely pass the ball. It's just kind of figuring out, how he kind of really fits into that team.
Yeah.
Because they have a massive hole in the 10. Like, that's how Pioli likes to have the team set up. And he should have a ton of space because Leao draws so much attention. He just has to, get adjusted to the league, the team. But yeah, hopefully that works out.
And they'll need him even more now that what's his name? Brahim went back to Real Madrid.
Bro, I did not think he was that good, man. He was okay, but he just.
I think Real are trying to save money for Mbappe's salary next summer. But that's we'll get to that later.
Okay, let's just go into transfers. We're back here anyway. Declan Rice
potentially going to Arsenal.
I think it's gonna happen, man. Like, who are you guys bidding against?
Maybe City.
But it's like maybe.
But City haven't put in an official bid just yet, so they're still trying to fill things out. I think Arsenal are definitely the front runners in that one.
Yeah,
it should get done, but it's not a done deal just yet.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what it means for Arsenal, like, it's just him and Partey. If you look at the stats, they did pretty similar things. They're both like high ball recovery, like semi to high pass volume players. Mm-hmm. I mean, Partey has like greater pass volume, like progressive passing, It's a bit lower from Declan Rice because he plays for West Ham. Yep. Like West Ham are not a progressive football team, but he's good on the ball and he's shown that in the national team. Mm-hmm. So I mean it's a like for like replacement in that sense. The only difference is that Declan Rice is more mobile and a better defender. Okay.
And he's 5 years younger.
Yeah. So and with a better injury record.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's a pretty sensible no-brainer transfer for Arsenal.
Yeah.
If Partey does stay beyond this summer, and there are questions as to whether he would actually stay, he could go to Saudi, I've heard.
Yeah.
Then like you have a bit more squad depth in that position, which helps, because I think Partey is still at that level where he can play against 85% to 90% of Arsenal's opponents, and you wouldn't notice a thing.
Mm.
But Declan Rice is just better, so.
Yeah.
It's a plug-and-play transfer.
Pretty much, because they don't have to change up the system really at all.
Yeah.
And they can... Oh, it kind of allows them to do more things depending on who else they sign. But yeah, I mean, it just makes sense. Like, that's kind of like what part of the structure of the Premier League is. And I think most leagues, you kind of have like a mid-table team whose best player gets to like that 23, 24 age and decides mm-hmm. to move to a, you know, bigger team. And that's... just kind of what this is. It's like your most like bread and butter transfer or type transfer.
Yeah. Yeah. It's probably going to work.
Yeah.
As for Havertz, the Havertz links.
Bro, that's...
Look, so here's what I think. So I've watched Havertz since he like broke through at Leverkusen like a couple of years ago now. Not a couple, many years ago now, like half a decade ago. And he initially broke through as like a sort of free eight.
Yeah.
A free eight with like number nine characteristics in the box,
mm-hmm.
but very much like, but not also not really a playmaker either, no, because like he's never been that much of a creator, although he's good on the ball.
Yeah.
And he's like, he thrives in situations where he's not overburdened with attacking responsibility and is like given a bit more like freedom of movement to like ghost into spaces and find pockets of space where he can receive the ball or take shots.
Mm-hmm.
That like his best season at Leverkusen, the one where he scored 17 goals, was like done playing in that position.
Mm-hmm.
And then his second best season was the season before we left, where he played at a false nine.
Yeah.
Which is not similar to like the sort of position he plays at Chelsea. Like he had a bit more freedom of movement. He was able to drop deep when he wanted to and pick up the ball and drive it if he wanted to. And he was given a lot more latitude in that system than he has been under Chelsea, where he's playing as a forward. And he's obviously he's suited to being a forward in certain aspects. He's very good in the air.
Mm-hmm.
He's pretty good at pressing. Although for forwards and midfielders, it's a bit different. Like the latter is a bit more physically demanding than the former. But I think that if Arsenal buy him, they'll probably play him in that eight role, where I can sort of see that working out. But the big if is like, is he going to be able to provide the defensive cover that Xhaka could?
Yeah.
I mean, he has the legs to do it, and he has the technical ability in the final third to like make a difference.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like, how will he fit into the system out of possession? In possession, it's probably going to be fine, but out of possession, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't... That's an interesting point. Because I'd assume that they were going to buy him and make him... like, I don't... not so a starting nine, but then that would kind of move Jesus to the wing as an option. So, like, to spell socket points. So you kind of make Martinelli, Havertz, Jesus, and Saka like your four, and depending on like fixture congestion and injury, like you can like just play three of those guys.
Yeah.
But to put him at an eight, I could definitely see that in possession, like you're talking about. But the out of possession thing is the tough one, because like Zinchenko's on that side.
Yes.
And you have to do a bunch of defensive cover, and like, I don't know, it makes sense, but like, I think if Zinchenko wasn't there, if there was like a more reserve left back, I could see it a little bit easier.
Yeah, it could leave Arsenal very open. I mean, he he has the physical ability to turn into a pressing machine.
I just don't know if he wants to do it, man.
Yeah, like he's 6'4". Like he's basically like as big as Goretzka. I mean, Goretzka is like a bit stronger, but like he's as big as Goretzka. He can go up and down the pitch, but like he's always been a very languid player. Yeah. Like there've always been questions about his work rate defensively. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like, if Arteta can figure out how to get him like to do what he wants him to do out of possession, I think it's going to work.
Yeah.
And that's the big if. Like, otherwise, I think this makes sense because he's going to play in a position that suits his preferences and his ability more than where he's played at Chelsea.
I could see that. That would be, I don't know, fun to watch, honestly. So that's honestly gets me more interested in this transfer than like the attacking four idea, because I don't really want to see.
No, he's going to see minutes at nine.
Yeah, no,
definitely. But he'll be given, like, if you watched Jesus play last season, like he never really stayed in that position. He always drifted wide and dropped deep.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he'll have a bit more flexibility than he's had at Chelsea.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to be where he's going to play, because Arsenal do have an open spot at that eight position, and it's not going to be filled by Declan Rice. Even if that might be a solution in a bigger game, like against the City.
Unless Arteta wants to switch up the system and play like a real pivot with...
He does play a single pivot.
No, a double pivot.
No, he's not. Against bigger teams, yeah.
Yeah.
Perhaps. Like, I could see them doing that against like Liverpool or City. Yeah. But in most of their matches, no. It's going to be a single pivot.
Yeah. I don't know. The Havertz one, I don't know. It feels kind of risky for his price.
Yeah, it is.
And I feel like you can find a player that fits that a little easier than Havertz does out of possession.
All the guys I can think of are over 25. And Arsenal have this thing about not buying guys that are over 25 unless, like, there's an emergency.
Yeah.
So,
but like, to me, the reason why the season kind of went off the rails is because the defense just was not very good.
Yeah, and that's where Declan Rice comes in. They're hoping that Declan Rice, because he's more mobile and a better defender, can cover for those cracks. I don't know if that's going to work. Yeah,
come on, bro. That's asking so much of this guy. And then it's like, if Declan Rice misses any time, like, what's going to happen?
Then the system kind of falls apart. Like, unless you have a defender, like a center back that can, or two center backs that can cover space, which you can argue Saliba and Gabriel, I mean, Gabriel to a lesser extent, but Saliba definitely can do.
If you have a midfield of Jorginho, Havertz, and Odegaard, and your center backs are Gabriel and Saliba, like, you're still getting counterattacked.
No, you are. You are. I mean, and you could cooked. Try.
Yeah.
You could try to counter. I mean, the counter press would not be great. but Saliba and Gabriel look like it could work against weaker teams.
But
if you're trying to do that against like a Champions League, even Europa League quality team, it's not going to end well.
No. But the thing is, like, there's so many quality teams in the league now.
Yes.
Like, it's two-thirds of the league. Like, that's the vast majority of your opponents are, like, quality of teams, or if they see a midfield like that, you're going to get cooked, yo.
Yeah, it really... I don't know. It's... Like, if Jorginho does not play minutes at the six...
Yo, see, this is what I'm talking about, like, man.
It depends on mobility, because, like, if you look... I think Arsenal's worst performance last season was against Brighton. I don't know if you watched that match.
Yeah,
like, that was, they just bad. Did not have the legs to keep up with Brighton in midfield. Yeah,
they didn't show up and Brighton jumped them, and it was like...
Yeah. It was like, it was kind of tough to watch, just how like much more mobile Brighton's midfield was compared to Arsenal's.
Yeah, because that was like the day the title race kind of ended.
Yeah.
Even if it didn't officially end, it was kind of like it was over.
Yeah, and basically like they had Jorginho trying to defend wide parts of the pitch,
which is not
with no support. And I mean, like, even Thomas Partey would struggle with that. I mean, Declan Rice would do better, but he would struggle too. Like,
yeah.
So
only person good is like Conte.
Yeah, Conte.
Like peak Conte, not even like the Conte it is now.
Yeah. But it's going to be interesting to see. I think the key to this is what happens with Havertz, and also who like Arsenal's backup eight is going to be, which could be Smith Rowe.
Ugh.
Yeah, but like, Smith Rowe he's good in possession, and he wouldn't have to like shoulder as much offensive responsibility.
Yeah.
With Odegaard next to him. But it's also like what happens out of possession too. I think he does have like a high defensive work rate.
He's kinda small though.
Yeah, he's like 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah, so I don't know if you need a ton of size, but I think part of the reason like why Man City just beasted through the second half of the season is because they're huge.
Yeah.
Like Kevin De Bruyne is big. Like he's like
he's not the tallest. Yeah, he's 5'10", 5'11".
But like I really noticed in the final when Foden came on, like he doesn't get pushed off the ball that often. Like he's like strong and fast. Like because he's a redhead and like people think he's like kind of like somewhat meek. Like no, he's like really athletic. Rodri, big. Their whole back line, big, fast guys. Haaland, big. Like Gundogan, not small really either. Like,
Jack Grealish has huge calls.
Yeah, like this.
And Bernardo Silva is small, but still like has pretty good core strength.
Yeah.
For a guy of that size. Yeah,
that's true, and it's just like that team is really really large, and it definitely helps. And if you have like a midfield to me that's that light, especially in the Premier League, I feel like you're just gonna push off the ball.
And actually, Smith Rowe is 6 foot tall.
He is?
Yeah, I didn't know that. I thought he was shorter.
He looks way smaller.
He looks smaller, yeah. I agree.
Who is his height listed by? Is this like
this is I'm looking at FBref. So it's technically 5'11 and a half, but basically
it's
like 6 foot,
yeah. It's yeah. Half inches like yeah. Okay.
I mean, it could work, but I just, I don't know. Like, it's what happened. I think whether Arsenal improve next season is going to depend on, number one, like, whether the other players around, like, in the young core keep on improving.
Yeah.
And on what happens with that eighth position. I think six is going to be fine if they sign Declan Rice. Yeah,
you're good there.
But if they can't figure out how to, like, get a guy that does a lot of the stuff that Xhaka did, but is more mobile and maybe even better at pressing, then like they're not going to take a step forward.
Yeah, no, because I mean, like we said in the beginning, like Xhaka had his basically the best season of his career last season, and a huge reason why you guys finished second. So yeah, okay, Chelsea. Fire sale that may be some positioning by Clear Lake.
like you said this morning, whoever like had that Saudi connect is done.
This is so ridiculous. This is like the reason why I don't like football. Like it's so ridiculous.
Like they're all going to the PIF owned clubs. Like
yeah,
it's incredible.
Oh my gosh.
It's Edouard Mondi. Koulibaly could be going.
Yeah.
Kante is pretty much confirmed.
Gone. I mean, Aubameyang, we have his contract details, I think, already, man. Like,
yeah, Aubameyang could be heading to Saudi as well.
I think that's going to. Because Barcelona don't have any cash. Like,
yeah, I don't think there's anywhere else he could go in Europe. I mean, unless he wants to go back to France.
Ugh, I don't see that happening.
But yeah, if I think he's in that mode where he just wants to earn a big check and like see out his career,
get paid, man.
Yeah, but that's a lot. That's a lot of players.
Yep.
And that's the squad clear out they really needed because, like, I mean, they're going to get some. I think these are not free transfers. They're going to get some cash out of some of these transfers.
Yeah.
Lukaku said no actually. Yeah. So like he's not part of that conversation. But
he might. I mean, they can just pay him more and see if that happens. Like, I would. I don't think he's against moving. I mean, I know he really wants to be back at Inter, but if the salary's high enough, I could see him going there.
Yeah. He could also work at Pochettino. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
I think Chelsea quit on him too quickly when they could have done more to try to fit and make the system like more amenable to his like requirements.
Yeah.
But yeah, this, I mean, it's going to be an interesting season. Like, new manager at Pochettino.
Yep.
They're going to get Nkunku.
Yep.
Who will do a lot of the stuff that João Félix did, but better.
Yeah.
And then, like, if they get, I mean, they have to get a striker still. Like, it could be Lukaku.
Yes.
Could be Osimhen. Could be Osimhen. I think if they get Lukaku with Nkunku playing next to him, Nkunku is basically going to function as a hybrid 9-10, as he's done at Leipzig. And that's going to help Lukaku because I think he's best in the 4-2.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like I think they're going to be better this season. I don't think they're going to be a Champions League team. And it's in large part because... I mean, the kids like Caicedo. If they say Caicedo, their midfield looks a lot better with Enzo next to him.
Yeah.
But I think they will need about a season to figure things out.
It's a very young team, or is going to be a very young team by the time these transfers are over. New manager, just a lot of changing parts, man. Like, I mean, if Havertz leaves as well, like their most used 11 from last season is going to be completely different almost.
Yeah, I think their attack will be less broken.
Yeah, for sure.
Which
I forgot about Kovacic. He might go too.
Kovacic might go. Yeah. To Man City.
So I think you're right. Their attack will look a lot less broken, but it's just a lot of changing pieces, and to have them snap in and be like, "Oh, we're top 14." Like,
yeah, their defense is good. It wasn't bad this season.
No,
I don't think it was worse than Manchester United's.
Yeah.
Actually, I haven't looked at the stats. I could be.
No, their problem was attack. I think their defense was fine. I mean, Cucurella was getting smoked, but they were okay.
Yeah, I'm just looking up their expected goal numbers. I think they were expected goals against. Sorry. No, actually, they were just a bit worse than Chelsea and then Liverpool, sorry.
Okay. Yeah.
And just a bit behind Manchester United.
Yeah,
so like,
that makes about sense. Yeah,
it's like not the best defense in the league.
Yeah.
But it's like good enough if you have a much better attack.
And it's also one of those things where like if you score, it's a lot easier to defend.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing with leads is a lot easier than kind of chasing games and being more open and stuff like that. So yeah. But I don't know. That team is it's just odd.
Yeah, it's starting now that they've cleared out a bunch of the deadwood, so to speak. I think it's starting to make more sense.
Yes,
but it's still it's a lot. It's still going to be chemistry issues next season.
Yeah, for sure.
And I don't know how Poch is going to set them up. I think that the back three has been good for them defensively, but it's kind of screwed them over offensively. If they make that transition,
if Reece James isn't injured, I think they're probably okay. But
yeah, if they make that transition, how does that affect their ball progression? I mean, they have they have pretty good ball progressors in if they sign Caicedo.
Yeah.
And Enzo is pretty, I think they're set with him for the next 10 years.
He's a fine passer, so they should be good.
Yeah, he's a fine passer. They overpaid for him, but the talent you can't deny.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be better, but it's still a bit of a mess for now.
Yes, definitely. But it just feels very... They're going in the right direction, I think, for sure, compared to, last summer. But it's definitely a team kind of in flux. And, still kind of missing some of the pieces that, I don't know, you would expect for a team of that kind of caliber. So,
yeah.
Okay, who else do you want to talk about? Real? Because we kind of like tease that a little bit.
Real, I mean, they signed Bellingham, which is
a great move.
Great move. I think they've finally completed their midfield rebuild.
Yep.
They can like let Modric and Kroos ride off into the sunset now. And I mean, they'll see some minutes next season, but I think that you're going to see a lot more of Camavinga, Bellingham, and Tchouaméni in midfield. Maybe a bit of Federico Valverde, but but that really does depend on what happens in attack.
Yeah, they signed Hosolu.
Yeah,
but that's more like a backup than a starter.
No, he's. I think he could start this season, but he'll be a placeholder.
Yeah.
Because I mean, and this all ties back to the Mbappe story. So, with Mbappe saying that he's not going to extend his contract until 2025, but also saying that he wants to stay at PSG next season, like it's clear that he's going to leave on a free.
Yep, or he wants to leave on a free.
Yeah, or at least PSG is going to try to sell him, but I think he's going to resist attempts to get sold.
So I actually think he stays at PSG.
Yeah, beyond.
Yeah, beyond when his contract is up after this season.
I don't know.
So my thing is,
does he care about football? Like being like living up to his potential? I kind of believe that he does care about that to some degree.
But I also think he already has I think he can get that other places. Like I feel like he can get that in with the national team.
Yeah, PSG's not going to be competitive in the Champions League. At least not for the next two or three seasons. I wouldn't say two or three seasons. They can fix that in two or three seasons. Yeah. But not next season.
No, but to me, I think he's probably okay with that. And the big thing for me is the wages. Like, he's getting paid like 60 mil at PSG. Real's wage structure, like the highest paid players get paid around like 30, 35.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's huge.
But here's the thing, and this is a point that Michael Cayley brought up in his podcast, I think, double-pivot podcast. If Real didn't have to buy Mbappe this summer, then they could use the savings from the transfer fee that they would have paid for him to fund his wages.
Yes.
And that changes the calculus a bit. Because they could offer a more competitive salary, maybe offer more economic incentives, quote unquote, to get him to move over. And I think that just be playing for Real Madrid, he's already a big commercial. I mean, he's a very marketable footballer. That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
And being on the Real Madrid pedestal is going to elevate his star even further. Yeah.
Yeah. Basically. No, that's fair. That he'd basically be able to make that money back up. I think I actually don't know. That's definitely an option. Because I think we should honestly view transfers as a wages plus the transfer fee.
Mm-hmm.
That usually tells more about how much the actual cost is. Because even if you sometimes you'll have really high transfer fees, but then relatively well, not low, but kind of medium-term wages.
Mm-hmm.
Or the opposite as well, low transfer, high wages, right? But I don't know. I think for me, that gap between the Real Madrid highest salary and PSG salary is still too big. Because to me, it's he still wants to go to a higher salary, closer to 80 million. And I don't think Real would be approaching that. Even if they
didn't spend, they would not.
So they'd be at his current salary, maybe, and probably a little bit less. So I don't know, man. That's where I'm for me. It's not to say that he doesn't care about football at all, but it's the wages, man. He wants to kind of get as much money as he can in this very very short period of time, and. To me, PSG still offer him the best opportunity to kind of do that. So that's why I see him staying there.
Or United.
Yeah, that's
another option. If they get bought.
Yeah.
I mean, the Qatar links were definitely a motivating factor there. United's still a very big brand, no matter what's happening to them on the pitch. And I do think they're improving on the pitch. He kind of fits into that. I mean, Rashford would have to move into striker to make that work.
Yeah.
But It could work. I mean, and they definitely have the resources to pay him a stupid amount of money
Yep.
to come and play for them, especially if they do get sold to Sheikh Jassim, I think. So yeah, that's an option. But I really do think that if I was Mbappe, if Real Madrid, like a club that idolized from like when I was a kid,
Yeah.
came to me and said, "Okay, like we're going to sign you next summer on a free. We're going to match your salary at PSG, and we'll give you a bunch of other incentives, like just to come over." I'll take that just simply because, like, I know that I'll be able to make up whatever the difference between my salary and whatever salary I wanted to get through like commercial deals and sponsorships, which, like, playing for Real Madrid in La Liga and in the Champions League, it's I'm not saying that PSG is a small club. But there are levels to this, right?
No, you're right. Like, yeah.
And playing for Real is going to be huge. Like he could ask for like a bigger cut of shirt sales, for instance, because those shirts will fly off the shelves.
Yeah, for sure.
So it yeah, that's all right. That's how I'm seeing it right now. I mean, he could stay at PSG, but I think that the allure of Real Madrid is too strong for most players
He's
to.
Nike, right?
Yeah, he's a Nike athlete.
And Manu and Real are both Adidas, right?
Manu is
Yeah, I know Real is
Adidas.
Adidas, yeah.
Manu's Adidas. Real's Adidas.
Yeah.
Yeah. PSG is Nike.
Our Jordan brand.
Yeah, it's basically
Yeah,
Nike.
Nike. It's just, I don't know why people really treat them as like separate things. I mean, it's they kind of are, but also not. It's the same company, really. Yeah. And I was thinking about that because of the Messi deal. Do you want to talk about that at all, or
Yeah, let's talk about it a bit. Like,
yeah.
I don't care about the MLS, but it's big.
I saw someone with an Inter Miami shirt this weekend, man.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
We're already like with the Messi into Miami
I,
shirt?
it wasn't a Messi one, it was just Inter Miami shirt.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was like Higuain or somebody like
Or
that.
Matuidi, who
Yeah.
was there, like, or was it Sami Khedira was there for a bit, I
Really? I
think.
didn't know that. Okay.
Maybe, I'm not sure.
That's, bro. Inter Miami, it's like a fake club to me, man. It's like one of those like simulated clubs.
Yeah, like from PES.
Yeah. Or like you know in FM where you have like the fake logos before you get like the real like stickers or
Yes,
whatever.
yes.
It's like that's kind of what Inter Miami gives me, bro. Like one of those, I don't know, just like teams. Or like in Germany where they have to like change up the names for the teams because they don't have the rights to like have the actual names. It's like what Inter
Yeah,
Miami is.
the funniest story I have about FM, like back in the day, was when like Oliver Kahn never consented to using his image in video games, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
And so in FM, his name was Jens Mustermann, which is
Okay.
basically John Doe in German.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting. Shout out to FM, man. I haven't played that game in a minute, but it used to be really fun.
Yeah, neither have
But I don't have enough time for that. You kind of have to be like obsessed with that game to, for at least for me to be to really enjoy it a lot. That's just like because it takes like hours, bro.
It does. It's a job.
Yeah,
It's
legit.
literally a job.
And I don't know. It's like at this point, I just got other stuff I gotta do. But the reason I was bringing up the Messi deal, is because part of his like compensation package is like heavily influenced by Adidas, who are like the sponsor for MLS. And he's getting money other money from Apple as well. He's getting like a percentage of their like streaming services that they're providing for the MLS. But that I think the Adidas thing was kind of just a big one, like a huge portion of his like compensation is being provided by that. And I know like it's not, I mean, there are other players that have like these, you know, similar like, you know, deals with, what am I saying? Yeah, with these brands like Puma, Nike, Adidas, but I think that like. If you're talking about making up salary that cannot be like paid by the club, it makes a little more sense if it's like by the same brand that you actually have to deal with that the club also has to deal with.
That makes sense. And Real have been an Adidas team for a long time.
Yeah, very long time.
So
I don't think Nike is going to want to or going to be able to like pay Adidas off of that.
No. But I mean, he could jump ship. You never know. I think that Nike deal is probably very lucrative.
Yeah.
So it's, yeah. But I really do think that he ends up moving to Real. I could be very wrong about this.
No,
I think at the end of the day, it's all about money.
Yeah, for sure. And I don't know. Like, I think it's, I don't think you're very wrong with like the Real Madrid thing with Mbappe, because I think it just makes sense. Like, he's been linked to there a number of times. Ronaldo was like his favorite player growing up and all this stuff, and they've been hinting at signing him for a very long time. So I mean, it all just kind of makes sense. But I honestly don't know what's gonna happen for sure, because I thought this would have happened already. I thought he was going to move, was it 2 years ago when he signed that contract? So that it's coming up now is kind of like, it's not even like a surprise, because once he had that third year option, I was kind of like, okay, that just kind of like seems like an out for him to kind of like leave quickly if he doesn't really like the situation at PSG. Or I think also just kind of wants to negotiate like a wage increase, right? But yeah, that's all I got on Mbappe.
Yeah, I think he leaves next summer, but we'll see. We'll see if that ages well.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of the story though, his career, like regardless, like this kind of flirtation with Real. So I don't think it'll, even if it ages poorly, I don't think it'll age like milk.
Nah.
It'll age. I don't know what something that ages like.
I would not have used milk, but I get the point.
Well, I say it probably won't age like milk. Like, it'll be like, oh, that's fair at the time. Like, oh, no, I could see how that could happen. Like, it won't be like bad. It'll just be like, okay, yeah, you were wrong, but it's whatever.
Yeah.
But like, who was gonna know except for like Mbappe and like his family, I guess. Okay, anybody else you want to talk about the transfer?
Let's see. Maybe Liverpool, perhaps?
They're just buying a bunch of midfielders.
Yeah.
They got McAllister, who I think is fine. That the fee is kind of like weird because there was like a release clause, but then also it wasn't called a release clause in his contract. It was like some other thing. And there's like some weird term about like compensation, but it's not a transfer fee. So I don't know what really is going on.
Is he like a third party? Didn't FIFA ban third party ownership?
Yeah. I don't think he's a third party guy. I just think there's something in his contract with Brighton that allows for like this additional compensation. I don't know if that's like another player or like a reduced, I don't know, like, what am I trying to say? Like a reduced fee if Brighton want to like buy a player or something like that. I don't know, but I saw that language and was like, it's kind of odd. So yeah, but I mean, it's a quality midfielder, a good place to kind of, I think, just have with Henderson and Fabinho and whoever else they kind of buy. I think he just fits in pretty well. He can do a lot of different things. He can play 6, 8, and 10. To varying degrees, and it's just kind of a helpful piece, so I'm cool with it.
Yeah, kind of like Jorginho Wijnaldum.
Yeah,
in many respects.
Shout out to him. He was great for us. And he's back playing, right? Because I know he's injured for a while.
Yeah, he played for Roma.
Yeah.
In this season.
What else was it? And Liverpool. I mean, yeah, they're linked with a couple French midfielders. Was it
Kefren Turam?
Yep. From Nice, I believe.
Yes. Yeah.
And then is it Kone from Mönchengladbach?
Yes, Kwadwo Kone.
And they look fine. Like, I looked at some of their numbers because I didn't watch a bunch of Gladbach. I maybe watched Gladbach like once or twice this year. But yeah, I think it's kind of the profile that they're kind of looking for. They just need some legs in midfield because Henderson and Fabinho have really fallen off. So hopefully that'll help and figure out what happens with Thiago.
They should just play Trent there and buy right back.
Maybe. I don't know. Trent is so poor defensively. Like,
yeah, but like further up the pitch, I think he's going, it's not going to hurt Liverpool as much.
I don't think so. To me, like, if you make him an actual midfielder, just opens you up like straight down the middle of the pitch. And if he's on the right, you can kind of cover for that a little bit easier because you can have like one of the other midfielders kind of drop and cover for him, and kind of double team whatever the winger is on their right side. With him in the middle, it's harder to cover, just in my opinion, but I don't know. Like, you could well be right.
Yeah, he has the talent to play there, but yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. But that's it. I don't know. Poole, to me, just seemed kind of boring. They just need to fix their midfield, and they should be okay.
Yeah. United haven't done anything of note.
They've been flirting a lot. Their main thing for them, I feel like, is a takeover.
Yeah, it's a lot of uncertainty.
Yeah.
If that happens, though, I think you'll see a flurry of activity. But until then, yeah, it's my view that United has got the timing of the transfers wrong still holds. I think that Casemiro might be great for them, like maybe for like
2 more years,
a year,
and that's probably better.
Because like, if you watched him towards the end of last season, he didn't look. I mean, first off of the season, he looked great.
Yeah.
Towards the end of last season, like, I don't know. I guess teams kind of figured him out, and he wasn't as quite as dominant.
Yeah, that's
true. As he was when he started, kind of like what happened to Bruno when he joined United.
Mm.
Like the Premier League figured him out after a season, but I mean, he's still a very good player, but like. Not quite as effective as he was in that first off season. Also, like, fun fact, do you know what Bruno Fernandes' expected assists was for last season?
I do not.
16.7. Do you know how many assists he actually had?
Wait. Is this just in the Premier League?
Yes.
Wow. Huh.
Do you know how many assists he actually had?
Like 8?
7.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what happened there, but
that's like an Ozil type stat. Well, I mean, who were their finishers? Is Rashford?
It's Rashford and Wout Weghorst.
Yeah.
Antony and Martial played some minutes but didn't play enough.
Yeah. He's either always injured or upset. So.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's great. Well, he was great like 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely wrecked Liverpool in that one game I saw at your apartment. bro, I can't watch Liverpool with you, man. I feel like the Man U game where we ripped apart them in what I guess was it April or March?
Yeah, one of those 2 months. Yeah,
yeah, that's like the best result. Like the Champions League finals have all been disasters. So, like, just various embarrassments. So I feel like I always pick bad games to watch with like the homies, apparently. Mm-hmm. So yeah. Okay. I don't know. I feel like there's nothing like big in transfer news that we really need to talk about.
Nothing big has happened yet. Yeah. This is all kind of hearsay.
Mm.
Yeah. So I mean, we'll see where it goes. But I think the main takeaway from all of this is that City is the best team in Europe. And they probably will be for at least another season.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Oh, Traore moved to Bournemouth. I didn't know that.
Hmm. What Traore?
Hamad. From
Hamad Victor?
Yeah, from Sassuolo.
Yeah, he was on loan there last season.
I didn't know. Okay. I thought that was like, well, it's a permanent move now, but... Yeah, I totally missed that because I didn't watch Bournemouth at all, man. I was like, ugh, this team.
No, they're really worth watching.
Yeah.
It's relegation football.
For real. Yeah, there's nothing really happening yet. Well, we'll probably tap in like a month or something like that to kind of see where everything else is going. Because I think a lot of the stuff now is, I feel like, been departures within like actual signings.
Yeah, some actual signings, but nothing like major
Yeah.
completed yet.
Because there's a lot of players that are moving on freeze now, I feel like, that are kind of running out their contract, like maybe Mbappe and moving. So I feel like that's just kind of changed up the nature of like how these deals kind of get done now. Yeah, because players have a lot more options if they're kind of on a free. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Shout outs.
You go first. You go first.
I'm trying to figure out like what my shout out should be since like we haven't done a podcast in a month. Shout out to, what is her name? I was listening to her album this morning. It was pretty good. I think it's Amari. No idea if I'm pronouncing that right.
Amore.
Yeah, Amare. Ooh, yeah. But I like her album. That was really good.
I don't know, she dropped something new.
Yeah, no, I didn't really know what to expect because I didn't really listen to like basically any of her music until I just clicked on this album. But I saw a bunch of people on Twitter talking about it, and I was like, oh, let me see what the vibes are. And no, it's quality, like a good mix of kind of like different types of songs. And I don't know, that was fun. Yeah, and the Gunna album I thought was pretty good, even though I'm not supposed to say I listened to it. But yeah, shout out to those two artists, and I guess Gunna for getting some money back. I guess, yeah, I feel like that's the main reason that album got produced, because yeah, it's hard to earn money in jail.
Yeah. I don't know what. Shout out to Philadelphia. I was there a couple weekends ago.
I was like,
Yeah,
what?
the place Philadelphia is like one of those places that I can never live in, but I always have like a pretty good time whenever I go there. Yeah, it's a very like when you go there, you understand why like the Flyers mascot is named Gritty. It's like the name is very apt. It's a very apt description for the city, but it's a cool place as well. Yeah, some good food in the city. Not cheesesteaks though. Like cheesesteaks are not my thing. But it's a nice city. Like always a good time there. Shout out to Philly. Worst fans in the US, but whatever.
Worse than the Miami fans.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I
Philly
guess,
fans are like on their own level.
but I guess they're committed to their team. Like the Miami fans, I feel like always bounce or not
Now like
involved.
in Philly, like if the team is like does something great or does something like or like falls short, there will be riots.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Like there will always be riots. People will try to climb poles and shit. Like
That
was
was
it
ridiculous,
when
man.
they won the Super Bowl? I think Philly like tried to grease up the
Yeah,
poles
they do
around.
that every time, man, and they
Yeah, and
still like
people's yeah.
manage to do it, bro.
Yeah, it's word people. They're built different up there.
Yeah. But I saw a tweet, I think it was today, where somebody described Philadelphia as like if Baltimore, everybody in Baltimore had like 15 more dollars. And I was like, that's kind of how I feel about Philadelphia, man. Because Baltimore is definitely gritty too, man. Like
It's
for
a better
real.
city than Baltimore.
Yeah,
Like,
but
absolutely. It's not even like
it's a little grimy and gritty like
yeah.
Baltimore is, though.
Yeah, that's true of Baltimore too,
Yeah.
but like I would go to Baltimore and not have a good time there. That's a
My
difference.
gosh. I don't know. I like Baltimore, man. I feel like I have good times there. I feel like I don't really spend a lot of time in Philly except for like when I go to the Penn Relays. But I don't know, maybe it's like the nostalgia from like childhood family trips to Baltimore, but yeah. Okay, shout out to Philly, I guess. And Will Smith and who else is famous from Philly? Boyz II Men.
Oh, they're from Philly.
Yeah, I think so. I'm pretty
I always
sure.
thought they were from New York.
No. think they're from, yeah, Philly. The Roots. The Roots picnic already happened, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like late May, I want to say. That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all for me as well.
All right. Well, this has been Playing FIFA in Suits. Peace.